coming up on the show. We are going to do the news and discussion this coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. This is episode 145, and it is Thursday, September the 20th. My name is John Martin, and I am your host this week, and I am joined, as always, by co-host Adam Brown.
Hello.
For those of you listening, if you just happen to wind up hearing any noises in the background, I am trying to take care of, to some degree, a newborn baby in the background while we're doing this. So yes. I'm proving that I'm a man of many talents.
Indeed.
As we go forward.
As we are now both fathers of two children.
Yes.
So that's a fun journey.
Yep.
If this turns into an ASMR episode, you'll know that we're just trying to be quiet for the baby's sake.
This is the delicious dish.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we start with the Disney Skyliner gondolas?
This is an interesting story.
Yes, and some news that came up just this week. Many of the stations are nearing completion, it seems, or getting are definitely coming along. But what exactly are they going to consist of, cooling system-wise, air conditioning? You know, what will they do? I mean, after all, it is Central Florida. You would think there has to be some sort of airflow that's going to be going through this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the rumor right now is that if these sources are to be believed, that there will not be any AC in the gondolas, but have small openings around the windows to provide ventilation for the guests, similar to the Disneyland monorails having no AC. But, you know, I think there's a slight difference.
Yeah.
Between summer in Southern California and summer in Central Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Just a little bit. Because if you had the Disneyland monorail on the Disney World beam, there would be like a monorail full of dead people at a certain point because they would die from heat exhaustion. It's just, you can't do that. Like, I was hot sitting next to the window in the Disneyland monorail in November. In California. Right. So, you know, it's not going to be the same in Florida in July. So, I don't know how
it's not even close to the same thing.
No.
It says that there's going to be onboard power, this latest story.
Right.
But they only expect it to be for the audio system.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, of course, they have to provide safety spills and such. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like this one's probably going to turn out to be false, or at least I hope it is, because Disney hasn't made anything official. You know, I wonder sometimes if Disney doesn't maybe leak this stuff just to see what kind of reaction they get before they make an official decision. Like, if nobody makes a huge deal of it, they would be like, there's no way we're putting air on this thing.
Yeah.
But if people do make a big deal about it, then they spend the money on it.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you probably have to like buy a ticket to go on the gondola.
Yeah. So. Right. I can't imagine how fast it would go to where it would get enough wind or air circulation just from motion that it would cool down the interior, especially in Florida, if the air is so thick and hot anyway. I just don't see it being a very comfortable ride if there's no air conditioning on it.
Unless they come up with some sort of new fancy airflow system, the state of the art or something like that, which I wouldn't rule it out. There might be something out there. You know, Disney dabbles in the latest inventions all the time.
Yes.
You know, there may be something out there they're flirting could with be. That might be what they use. Something could like be. That. You never know.
So at least they'll have onboard audio so they can say, are you guys still alive in there? You doing all right?
Right. Right, exactly.
Punch out a window if you need extra air.
Well, I mean, it'll be easy to get people out if there is an issue, like, because they won't be enclosed, doesn't seem. Although, you know, I don't know. I could have swore, you know, the vehicle that we saw looked pretty much enclosed, that one that was going down the road, you know?
Right, it did, yeah. It looked like a giant window halfway up.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it would be, like the monorail has a very easy windows that pop out in case of emergency. This, I don't see that, but.
Right. And, you know, the monorails that they used to, I don't think they have the ability to open them, to crack them now, do they?
For ventilation.
For them to, yes, to tilt open at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think the new ones do.
That's on the Mark 6. I think it was on the Mark 4s, though, so it's been a while.
I just said new ones, which is, they're 30 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mark 4s, though.
Right. Did, yes, yeah.
Yeah. They also didn't have automatic doors, though.
Oh, you know, I did see a picture. I forgot where. It was probably, I don't know if it was BioReconstruct or Blog Mickey, one of those, showed a picture of one of the gondola cars in the Hollywood Studios station, but it was covered like with a sheet or something. And it was like wrapped so you couldn't see the what was underneath it, but you can tell it was an actual gondola car in the station. So they're testing something. I did see that photo. That was this past week, so it's getting closer.
Yes, a bit closer.
Bit closer.
All right, so that's all we have on that for the time being. Yeah. You want to pick the next?
Sure, I'll pick this really quick one about the golf courses at Disney World. The Oak Trail and Lake Buena Vista golf courses recently underwent some refurbishments, basically to add Mickey bunkers to several of the holes, or two of the holes, it looks like. And
I thought they already had them.
I think only one course. I can't remember if it was the Palm or the Magnolia. It's the only one that has a Mickey bunker before now. And they've added Mickey bunkers to Lake Buena Vista and Oak Trail. It says on the 9th hole on each course. That's the cool thing, because now more golf courses have the Mickey bunker, so you have more options. And we were talking pre-show that we need to go ahead and do a golf outing so that we can review it on the show as well.
So. Yeah, I mean, we've never played any of the courses there.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, well, I mean, lately I very rarely even play golf.
Yeah.
But I would like to play more than I'm getting the opportunity to play.
Yes.
But
so would I.
It would be, we're talking about taking an opportunity to play all of them. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So that would be something cool down the road to do. And
yeah.
I know I've thought about it several times. I just haven't done it. It's one of those things, you just don't have enough time to devote half a day to be playing golf. So.
Right.
Or drag your golf clubs down there.
My uncle, which he doesn't really care much about the whole Disney scene at all, but when he went on a family vacation, there was actually a point, I don't know how much or how often, in which his wife and daughter actually spent time at the parks and he spent time at the driving range.
Huh.
Not exactly the ideal, I guess, way
right.
to do that, but
yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines of maybe take a trip and over the course of maybe like a weekend or something, and
yeah,
maybe, or maybe not necessarily even a weekend, maybe just take it like a day out of the week, the trip, whatever. The regular trip. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but my car is pretty packed with other kid related stuff right now that I don't have room for golf clubs.
It's like, it would be pretty tough.
Drop them to the roof maybe and hope they make it. Sad.
It would be pretty tough. That is for sure.
There was the time where my golf clubs were one of the most important things in my car, and now there's no room for them.
At one time. You even rescued them from your house when it was burning.
Yes, I have still not been able to live that down, but, you know, I was going to play golf anyway, and that's when anyway, long story, ask me about it sometime if you're a listener. Anyway, moving on to the next story.
All right, so another one that's kind of like a smaller one, because I'm going to try and save some of the bigger ones for later, even though we already did discuss the gondolas.
Yeah.
We had to lead with a bang.
That's how you do it.
With a bang.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. You pique the interest at the beginning, and then you really hit them home with whatever the, yeah.
Yep.
Sure, because we do that every time, right?
Right. Yeah, we think that Disney. Much about every episode.
Yes. Disney parks raise prices on headbands and bubble wands and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I normally wouldn't even mention this, but to me, this is a relatively significant increase.
Yeah.
Because, say, for instance, the headbands are now, they've gone from $24.99 to $27.99.
Yeah.
$3 in one shot is, that's a big jump to me. I mean, when you all of a sudden say, this is one price and we're going up $3, that's a pretty big jump. Yeah. Now, compared to the amount of money you're spending in Walt Disney World, are you really going to miss $25 versus almost $30?
Right.
I don't know. But the bubble wands have also gone up $2. They're going from $25 to $27. The misting fans. Gosh, I remember getting one of these a long time ago as well, but I can't remember what they were then. But apparently they were already $20, and they've gone up $2 as well to $22.
Yeah, mine leaks. The one I bought, I got in 2014, and it was, I think, $18 then. So it's gone up. In the last 4 years, and now it's gone up again, which I think is ridiculous for a squirt bottle.
Yeah, and as I look at this, there's some people talking about the fact that the prices here and there on various things they've noticed going up in the same range, the $2 to $3 range. So I guess one of the questions it raises out of that is that in preparations for paying for the $15 an hour, and is it going to difference at all?
Good point. Could be. There's also the rumor going around that there's budget cuts because of lower attendance, but I haven't noticed like the attendance has been that bad, but I guess for their bottom line, they're raising prices and cutting staff and cutting performances of different things, which well, I'm sure we'll get into that too, but seems a little bit crazy to me for trying to make up for. I mean, I can't imagine they've lost that much revenue, but I guess they have to keep it growing.
They go through time periods in the past anyway, where there was, you know, things were going well and then things start going down, and the attendance partially, I'm sure, is down right now due to people delaying their plans until things like Star Wars lands.
Plus, you know, people have kids in school. Let kids go to school for a little bit of time. It used to be September was expected to be a slow month, and now nothing is expected to be slow, and any time that is slow is considered, oh gosh, we have to make cuts, and we have to raise prices, and we have to do all this stuff to make up for the fact that, you know, our attendance dipped by 1% instead of, you know, growing every single month of the year, which it seems like they want the parks to be full every day of the year, and screw the guest experience. It used to be that you could, you know, plan to go at an off season and enjoy, you know, shorter lines, but now if there are less crowds, they just lower the capacity of the rides to save a little bit of money, and the lines are all the same all year round. So I don't know, it just seems kind of like a crappy move on their part.
And going along the lines with the what you were talking about, budget cuts, since it kind of falls in line, I'll just continue with what we've got going on here. Hollywood Studios is cutting several members of the Citizens of Hollywood Streetmosphere team, which have been kind of like staples and been very fun. To me, one of the most entertaining ones that I ran into hasn't been there in a little while anyway. His name was Francis Flute. And he had the guy that played him was hilarious. I think he moved on to bigger and better things because he was rather talented. So
yeah,
I'm not really sure exactly what he's doing now. I haven't kept up with him in a while, but his character was hilarious. He actually had worked there a long time ago. I have some footage of him where we were from the late 90s, just before the turn of the century, whenever he was doing a character there that was just absolutely hilarious.
I remember seeing that video.
Yeah. Leaving by the end of this month will be Dorman Esmond, Paige Turner, Dara Vamp, and Officer Prime Brody characters. Mm. Several of these have been in their roles for many years, and they've been senior entertainers pretty much. I know Paige Turner, she's been there pretty much the whole time that Francis Flute was, and obviously still going after that. So
wow, that's sad.
I'm pretty sure that's the exact same actress playing her. And she was always really good too. It's kind of sad to see something like that. I mean, I know time moves on. It's not known if they're just going to be recast or replaced or what, as far as the actors go. It's for sure that the characters are going to be going away. It looks like they're just reducing, perhaps, the number of characters yeah. that they have there. Maybe going in a different direction. Maybe they're having to use these actors to play characters in Galaxy's Edge or something. I don't know.
That's possible. Yeah, maybe Paige Turner is going to be the Uga. What's her name for the cantina bar?
Oh yeah. I can't remember how you pronounce it. It's funny for me, the more the Star Wars construction and stuff dragged out, I'm actually less excited for it
really
than I originally was. You feel that way a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the stuff I'm not really looking forward to, like, trying to create my own story.
I don't get me wrong. There's going to be some really cool and, like, technology things. That's the thing I liked about Disney for the longest time is the technology they introduced to their entertainment. You know, they don't just do stuff cheap usually.
I'm most excited about the rides, for sure. The two attractions I'm really looking forward to, especially the Millennium Falcon.
Well, I'm sure that they'll be state-of-the-art attractions.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, with them being Star Wars, it's just kind of the icing on the cake because, as we've seen with Avatar, I mean, if you make an attraction, if you do an attraction well, you could make it anything, and people will go and see it. You know, it's not the IP that's going to make the attraction if it's done well. So
yeah, but this is sad because Orlando's not really known for having a big actor presence. So what are these folks going to do? Like, what kind of gigs are they going to get? If they can't,
I don't know,
you know, perform at Disney. I mean, Universal might be hiring for something, but
well, what I was going to mention, though, is the other theme parks in the area, there's several of the positions in which they actually worked, you know, multiple. They didn't just work for Disney in some cases.
Yeah,
that's true. They actually already worked for parks, and in some cases, I'm not saying that they did, but they might have actually been paid better.
Could be,
at Universal. I have heard that happen before. So
yeah. That's not too surprising. Yeah. Kind of an end of an era. I think we knew this was coming anyway with March of the First Order every 12 minutes. That there's not really a whole lot of room for them. And this sort of identity of the park is changing anyway. So, yeah. Although now, apparently Captain Phasma's on the chopping block.
Well, I mean, you know. Well, in the movies, she's already chopped. Past the chopping block.
She's been chopped.
So she's going to get chopped again.
Right, which is another story that the Star Wars Galaxy Far, Far Away stage show at Hollywood Studios is going to go dark for 5 weeks from the end of September for the entire month of October, coming back in November. A lot of people are saying this is just to kind of save money as well, that they're going to hold off from doing the show for a while.
I'm not so sure I buy that because I don't really think this would cost them that much to do this show with me as often. I mean, even though they do it so often, I don't think it cost them anything all that much.
There's a lot of personnel in this show. I'm just saying there's a lot of stormtroopers. There's a ton of Star Wars characters that have to be paid in character.
Yeah, but what are they over the next 5 weeks? Are they just not going to pay them, or are they going to replace them all when it's all? I mean, what I'm saying?
That's what I'm assuming. They're part-time workers, I would think. Because if they don't do the show every day, where else are they going to make them work? They're going to be bus drivers. I don't know. I don't know what their other role would be.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what they do. But I know this much. They're not going to get away with not paying somebody. If they're going to use them again in 5 weeks, they're not going to get away with not paying them for 5 weeks. So I don't see where that would save them anything significant.
Maybe doing not.
That. I think it's for the construction, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it seems like what they've been doing at Hollywood Studios is replacing a lot of the old 1989 pavement. Because I think that whole area in front of, like, Indiana Jones, they redid Echo Lake last year for Christmas. And so that now the Star Tours Indiana Jones area got redone a few weeks ago. So now I think the Chinese Theater area is getting stuff redone. in preparation for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway to make sure it looks good when it opens next year. But if you're looking forward to the show, it will not be there for the month of October.
It's a Chinese theater.
Yep. It's a dolphin.
Inside joke there.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. When you mentioned about the replacing the concrete or what have you, and how long it had been since it's been there, you said 1989. Yeah, that's when the park was opened. But I got to thinking about this clip that I actually saw a little bit earlier today, where someone had apparently found some really good footage from Disneyland in 1956.
Wow.
They posted it on YouTube, and they had footage of his then grandmother for then.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was ambassador or something with Disneyland, and it actually has some footage of her with Walt, but it's pretty neat because you can see some of the surrounding areas because they took video of the park itself. And someone made a comment about that being in 1956 and some of the stuff that they were like Frontierland stuff that they were showing is like, he's like, think about this. He's like, at the time this video was recorded, the 57 years prior, it was in the pre-1900s. Yeah. Says that this video itself is 62 years old.
Right.
So we're further away from when that video was shot than they were from the horse and, well, not necessarily the horse and buggy, but the turn of the century at that time. Wow. It's just wild to think about that.
That's true. Time flies.
I was like, whoa, I wouldn't have thought of that, but he's right.
One of the YouTubers I watch, Justin Scard, has done some videos where he has viewers send him photos that they have from family or whatever from the 50s, 60s, whatever period. But he's posted a couple of videos where he shows what the area looks like now versus what it looked like in an old photograph, which I thought was really interesting video.
You should go out there and look for that footage, though. I mean, I'm sure you could just search the standard.
Okay.
Disneyland 1950s or something like that.
Maybe I'll link to it.
But the quality of the footage is what's the most interesting thing. Because this is kind of cool because this is the closest thing I can get as far as to what it would look like to be in Disneyland in the 50s.
That's pretty fascinating. That's what
I was thinking when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty cool.
Neat.
Anyway, let's move along. Complimentary Ziploc bags are coming to Splash Mountain and soon.
Yeah.
It's been reported that there might be some sort of sponsorship that comes along with Ziploc as far as the attraction goes. But the Ziploc bags are going to be designed for like your phone or personal items or something like that whenever you're on the attraction, stuff that's not supposed to get wet. So it's kind of a neat idea, I thought, that was kind of like collaboration. You have one product that can give you something that's useful on the attraction and also be a sponsor of the attraction, so it's kind of a win-win situation. So,
well, if anybody out there gets the new iPhone, you're going to need a freezer bag to put it in order to get it. Also, if a lot of people, bring their iPads, because you see this a lot where they're filming like the parade or something on their iPad. Like, why do you bring your iPad to the theme parks? I don't know, but.
Yeah, my mother has a tablet that she got off of like QVC or something. And I could totally see her doing this, actually. I want to say she has.
Holding it up so block people's view behind you from being able to see the fireworks, except through your screen.
She might, but that was actually before she got a phone that could do pictures. So,
oh, I see.
I'm putting that the way she would put it.
Right.
So, yes.
But that's nice. Hopefully it'll at least fit half your phone if it's a sandwich bag.
Yeah. It says there are exclusive designs for the bags. So, the collaboration here should be pretty cool.
So it's like, when you walk up in the queue line, it's like Android or iPhone. Like, okay, here you go. Here's your personalized sandwich bag for your phone.
Yeah. It says they're able to recycle the bags at designated bins at the exit. Or any outside plastic recycling location. But it's going to have, like you said, designs, which might be pretty neat souvenir for some. when it's all done. Oh, Lord.
So in other words, these will be on eBay as soon as it happens. Lord.
I'm going to say Ziploc's found a way to get themselves resellable on eBay now.
Yeah. So. That's all we need.
And if these are complimentary, then there's actually going to be guests making more money off of the Ziploc bags and Ziploc. So,
if they are complimentary, is it just going to have like an inspirational quote on it? Like, you look great today.
I don't know.
Had to throw that dad joke in there.
Yeah. all right. So what's going to be our next topic?
Well, the one I was going to bring up next was a follow-up for one that we did last week where I was optimistic and obviously shouldn't have been optimistic because it's Disney. The new minivan pricing that we talked about last week is finally revealed. Well, we had talked about the base rate now is $15 instead of $25. However, it is now $2.75 per mile on top of that $15 fee. So it says most rates now for places you would go are going to be more than the $25 fee that it used to be. So unless you're going from the Swan to the Dolphin, then you're going to pay like $28 to like $40. The example given is from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Magic Kingdom is a $40 almost fee.
Yeah. Folks should have realized that the whole flat rate thing lowering had to have been followed up with something that's going to be more reasonable for the people who are having to operate these vehicles. The thing that gets me about it is I don't know how this deal works because Lyft, you know, is the company used to operate it, but I'm still pretty sure that you can use Uber on property for less. So I'm trying to wrap my head around this one. Except for the fact that it is going to be a minivan, you're going to have a polka-dotted van, but whenever you start getting into the $40 range to go from one end of the property to the other, people are really going to take a harder look at whether that's going to be worth it or not because they do have other options. I mean, that's just true. Because it's polka-dotted and it's meant to like mini, it's not going to matter whenever you're going to find an option that's that much less than what Disney is offering, I think.
Well,
but we'll see.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate, the one thing that I can think of for families, especially if you're not used to using Uber and Lyft, is you're guaranteed to have a cast member, so you know that it's someone that Disney hired and vetted to specifically do this job. So you kind of feel comforted knowing that it's a Disney employee versus just somebody who's driving around, you know, and happens to be in the area. This is a Disney employee. And the other thing is they have car seats, so they're equipped for having young kids in the car. So there's the safety thing that you know it's a Disney employee who does this every day, and they are equipped for, you know, for your kids if you have young kids. So it makes you feel better, I think, for that, for some people. And
well, see, the thing about it is if you're looking on Uber for those types of specifics that you're going to need, they're going to send the person that has those, or a person that's going to pick it up is going to have those things. So, I mean, it's not going to be a huge difference as far as that goes. But the part you say about it being consistency, I guess, is going to be the thing. And maybe the reason why they're doing this is because they've found that there are a lot of people still using them and thinking that if they raise the price, is this going they're going to go one of two things. Either we're going to make more money off of this or it's going to make the demand more manageable. So it's going to benefit them one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, my point about the car seats was that every minivan is equipped with it, regardless.
Oh, you mean it's the same equipment?
Yeah, for every vehicle. Okay. So
yeah, gotcha.
You've got, you know, when you get a minivan that it's going to have that. You don't have to specifically say, I need this, that, or the other. You know what you're getting regardless. So, and the other thing is after this, they did say that checking the app, there does seem to be more minivans available now than there used to be or before this. So it seems like they've added more to the fleet, so to speak, as well. So there's more available. Maybe so that's why they raised the price.
That's the real reason for the increase. They've added to the fleet.
I guess.
Pretty much. The truth comes out.
They got to pay off these car loans.
Yes. And the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
I always thought it was kind of funny anytime I'd see on social media those memes that talk about, you know, they'd say like back in 1990 or whatever, it's like, don't ever talk to strangers or don't go with strangers, don't get in cars with strangers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then they made some kind of joke about Uber and fast forward to Uber, but it's perfectly fine. I always thought it was, I wish I could remember exactly how those are worded because they're meant to be somewhat funny.
Yeah.
But I always answered with them. I was like, you know, we used to do this before. They were called taxis.
Right.
Whenever you didn't know the people
that's true.
You got in the car with them. So it was no different really. This is a company. Taxis are a company.
Yeah.
They've been vetted to the best they know how, you know, I mean, right. I don't know what else you can do that's different, truthfully. I think I would actually trust Uber over a taxi in a lot of cases.
Yeah, so, well.
I wonder how Mears feels about this, because Disney used them for their buses, or at least the Magical Express. I wonder if they still use them for Magical Express. I may have missed that piece of news in recent years, but anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So what would be up next? I guess we're getting to the close to the end, so we'll go some of the bigger stories.
Yeah.
The Mary Poppins spinner flat ride planned for the United Kingdom. This is in the rumor category, obviously.
Yeah.
But this says a spinner ride specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So something, I guess, similar to Dumbo, which is, I kind of hate that idea.
Off the shelf kind of carnival ride.
Yeah. They were talking about using that area where, like, the British Invasion used to play, and now I forget the name of the band that's there now.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. But that courtyard in the back is what they're talking about, that area somewhere. It's really the only room they have for anything unless you take that kind of convention space that they have behind the UK pavilion, but apparently that is not going to be affected at all. So, yeah, that's why they have... I mean, it's a strong rumor. I could see this happening because Epcot having one of these kind of makes sense because every other park's going to get one of these simple rides that absorbs a little bit of crowd and gets some people off of the streets around World Showcase.
I just really hate the idea of another off-the-shelf attraction.
Even if it's themed to Mary Poppins, which I'm trying to think what it would be. Would it be the carousel horses that you're riding in? I mean, that doesn't make sense. It wouldn't work.
That would pretty much be a carousel now, wouldn't it?
Right.
So,
I'm trying to think, unless from the new movie, maybe it's going to be something from the new movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, putting a carousel over there would draw a small bit of crowd. I don't think they would get the benefit out of it that the cost would be, personally.
Yeah, carousel doesn't make sense, but a ride, I mean, I'm trying to think from the movie, the only thing they ride on in the movie is the carousel horses that jump off the carousel and go through the cartoon land. So, I don't know.
Okay, as far as the spinner thing, the only thing in the movie that really flies is Mary Poppins. So are you going to, like, ride her, I guess? I mean,
the kite. Maybe you're riding a kite.
Maybe you're in a kite.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you make the vehicle out of for a spinner attraction? Her umbrella?
I don't know.
I mean, are you going to sit in an umbrella? I mean,
Riding her bag?
her carpet bag. Maybe this is giant Mary Poppins, and you're hanging out the bag like she's carrying you away. It's like she stole you.
Yeah. And then the wind changes, and then you stop.
I don't know. This is, again, it's in the rumors.
Yeah.
And I know people were hoping for a dark ride, which probably would be better if they're going to do it. And maybe it's surrounding something they're going to do with the new movie.
Perhaps.
Maybe there's some scene in there that better fits a spinner attraction.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
But, I mean, this has been a rumor for so long now that I think something's going to go there eventually. It's going to be something.
Yeah.
So.
Something.
Hopefully.
I would have liked to have seen something involving Brave personally, but I know that's probably been too far removed from that movie. But.
Yeah, I know that was part of the rumor, but now it seems Mary Poppins is a much stronger possibility. But, you know, it could be that they saved the animatronics from the Great Movie Ride. Maybe they're going to incorporate those out there somewhere. That would be funny. They probably wouldn't, but...
I guess they could.
That would be hilarious. Those are
some pretty old animatronics. But they used some that were even older than that at, what's it called? The Three Caballeros ride?
Oh, yeah. What is right. The Grand Fiesta Tour at the end.
Yeah, Grand Fiesta Tour.
Yeah. That's yeah. true. Those I mean, are, they have,
those are really
yeah,
old.
1971 originals. Yeah. yeah. That's so true.
They still have the animatronics from, like you said, from Great mm-hmm. Movie Ride. Maybe they can incorporate them. I'm sure
they didn't destroy them, right? I mean, maybe they did.
Yeah.
They probably did.
I hope not, but...
Well, they're probably going to be on auction at somewhere down the line for like a gajillion dollars.
Right. Over there. If it hasn't already, I may have missed it.
Yeah. But,
all right, so...
The Move It, Shake It, Dance It, Play It Street Party is ending its run, which began in 2009 as the Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It Street Party.
Wow. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah. And then in 2014, it changed to the Move It, Shake It, Dance It, Play It Street Party. Huge difference there. But anyway, the...
Because you get to dance with it.
Right. So, I mean, this was cute. You could... They basically go to the hub, and then they stop, and then you get to dance with the characters or kind of do some stuff with different characters. It was kind of fun.
You got to believe that if they're doing away with this, that they're only going to... Either they think they have too many parades, or they're going to replace it with something that's more modern or more interactive in a different way.
Yeah.
Especially because this seemed to be popular enough because of the interaction. Maybe they found a way to take it to a new level.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I do think it was getting old because, I mean, for one... To me, like, parades and stuff like this are kind of annoying if you don't want to do it, because I think they did two a day, and if you timed it wrong, you know, you're stuck trying to get through a area of the park, you know, because you got to wait for this thing to go by or whatever.
I will say having it come through multiple times is in itself annoying, yes, but it's not near as annoying as the number of times that the March of the First Order
that's true
placed over at Hollywood Studios. Okay, hey,
maybe that's what they're gonna
overkill this stuff. Yeah, I hope not. Well, I don't know why they overkill this stuff as much as they do, but you know, sometimes less is more.
Yeah, yeah.
As another Disney movie lines from another Disney movie. Take advice from one of your movies you probably don't remember, if Ranch Wilder.
Yes. Well, it is going to officially end December 1st, and it says that a new Magic Kingdom dance party will debut early 2019 to replace it. So I don't know if it's going to be exactly the same kind of thing, or, you know, new characters, different altogether. I don't know. March of the First Order dance party.
March is the First Order dance
party. That's probably what it's going to be.
We might would do that, actually.
Could be.
I wouldn't put it past him.
So it just does the March of the First Order, and then...
Oh, brother.
That would be awesome.
Let's hope not.
That's not going to happen.
All right. So, did you have anything, other ones?
I have one other small one I just wanted to mention. It's a really quick one. Hong Kong Disneyland... was closed for a couple of days due to a typhoon that hit Hong Kong or southern China, as well as the Philippines. Wind speeds up to 138 miles per hour, and Hong Kong Disneyland reopened after 2 days of being forced to close because of the weather. And I've seen a few pictures. There's a lot of debris that came down. Several trees came down, a lot of limbs and stuff. And it looks like a little bit of flooding, perhaps, too, but I guess nothing major has, you know, to any of the attractions or anything, but there's definitely some photos online of some damage to Hong Kong Disneyland, but it is now officially reopened.
Does it say how many times they've been affected by...
A typhoon? I don't see this here. I'm curious. I don't see any stats on that, but I'll have to look that up. Maybe give an update next week on that, if I can find
out. Well, I want to say it was not that long ago that they had to have something, because I remember hearing it. There was like a some sort of a natural disaster.
Yeah.
That came through that way that caused them to have to close it.
Yeah, I saw an article that in 2016 there was a typhoon that caused it to close. So,
you know, that must have been it.
Yeah,
that I was thinking of.
Maybe, yeah. It's
so it has happened before.
We know. I think so. And yeah. I believe the Disney Resort in Hilton Head, South Carolina, is reopened as of now. So I don't think that they had any major damage there either.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything in particular about it that was suggested there was any damage, so, or nothing major, I should say. So,
yep.
All right. So, since I started this news episode, I'm going to end it, and I'm going to end it with something that is no longer a rumor, but it is now confirmed, because Disney has announced an end date and a replacement for Illuminations, Reflections of Earth.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes. This is one that's been getting kind of mixed reactions, I think, from the Disney community. I see a lot of people that'll say, you know, it's about time, or it's been needing to be replaced for a long time type comments, or some people that say it was their most favorite show, nighttime show, and that they're sorry to see it go. I'll be honest with you. It was actually still, now, of course, I haven't seen Happily Ever After so far, but to me, Reflections of Earth was still my favorite nighttime show of all the shows that they had done, that I had witnessed anyway, at Walt Disney World. The music in particular was just, it's like a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's really
good. Music. One of my favorite tracks of all time of the Disney soundtracks. But my feelings about it, whenever they say that, I'm not like upset or anything. I'm just like, you know, 18 years, which, well, it's the second half of it, 18, it's going to be 19 years, really, right at it. You know, that's a long run. That's a good run. I mean, it's been almost 20 years of the same show, essentially, even though they changed it just slightly. It was a little bit different when it was the Millennium show, but it was basically the same. I mean, you would, the changes as was more in the title and how they introduced it, I think, was all that was really different. Pretty much everything else was the same. I saw it in its first year of operation, and from the moment I saw it, I enjoyed it then and always liked it. The only part about it that I thought was kind of a flaw was the whole, like, interlude or whatever you call it when you have to wait for the sphere to come out. I mean, couldn't you have been having something go on while the sphere was coming
down? That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Was the lull in the show was my main complaint about it now, as of watching it now, because I remember the last time watching it wasn't that long ago, that a lot of people thought it was over. Like, people who hadn't seen it before were like, oh, that was cool. And they started leaving the park, and then all of a sudden more fireworks go off.
And I was like, oh, that was a good show. Long pause.
Exactly. And it is a very long pause. It's like 5 or 6 minutes, or feels like, before anything happens again. So it's, I don't know why you...
The finale of this one is one of the best finales, too, personally. Yeah.
And it's cool because it's low to the ground. So if you're on the lake and you're, you know, you see the literally the reflection of all the fireworks and everything on the water, it's like in your face. It's kind of cool. But to me, what this says about the new one, the whatever they do, I already can guess, okay, projections on Faceship Earth. And they're probably going to spread it out more. That's my thought, where you can see it from. So if you're closer to Spaceship Earth, you'll see projections on the sphere. That's my guess. And there'll probably be fireworks that spread out. And they're probably higher because they have these new restaurants that are going to open at Riviera and Coronado Springs that are on top of these big towers that they promise will have fireworks views.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the current show is planned to run to the end of summer 2019, so I'm guessing in the fall and winter months are just going to go without anything, or is it just not going to take that long to change it over? Or is that that's when they're going to do it?
Well, if I remember right, when they did Happily Ever After, one night it was wishes, and the next night it was happily ever after. So maybe it'll be seamless like that was.
Right. There was a rumored name whenever this first came out, and I don't see it anymore. It was like Sky something. I'm trying to find it right quick. It surfaced here recently, the one I was thinking of. Oh, I know what it was. It was the rumor I saw. It was actually Lynn Testa of Touring Plans that I saw. He did this yesterday. He said that Disney has filed trademark for the name Skymosphere. So okay. It's not that this had this name, but that would fit, since they have filed a trademark for that name, that would fit with the description, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For Epcot. So it's not saying that that's for sure, but they have filed a trademark for that name. So whether it's related to this show or something else is another thing. But, you know, from that, it sounds like it could be related, but it's kind of lame, actually.
That's so horrible. I kind of hope to me.
I kind of hope that's
not. Are you going to stay up and watch Skymosphere tonight?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to get in line for Test Track.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah.
They could make it a really interesting show and go from Illuminations to Illuminati.
Okay. Yeah, they could.
Make it all about conspiracy theories.
Sure.
On the Earth.
Well, that would be a long show.
Yes.
That could be a very long show.
Yes. It would also might end up getting someone killed in the meantime. You never know. Like I said, one of my favorites, and the soundtrack actually I've used as either a alarm or ringtone or something at several different times in the past. Still one of my favorite tracks, yeah.
Well, I mentioned about the projection on Spaceship Earth because they have done this before. I believe it was when Rogue One came out. They made Spaceship Earth look like the Death Star. And they even had the green laser come out. So I think they're going to do that. I mean, everything is projections now, so
I don't. Well, they've also made it. I can't remember what the reasoning was. They also turned it into Mike Wazowski one time.
Oh yeah, that's
projection.
Right. I don't remember why.
I don't remember what the reasoning was at that time. Whenever they first did any kind of, I mean, like they have that one camera projection, whatever you want to call it, that's out. Must be at the top of the American Adventure is all I can say for it to shine the way it does. But, you know, they used to, when exiting Illuminations, you would see Siemens all over the spaceship Earth.
That's right, yeah.
Well, excuse me. You would see literally the name Siemens.
Yes, know, the logo or like brand name.
Etched out in like green laser because they used to sponsor it. And, of course, now they don't. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they're changing it is because it has no sponsor now. And it's been running for a little while without it. That's one of the things about Epcot when compared to other Disney parks. As they have a tendency that if the attraction has a sponsor, everything's cool. But if they ever lose that sponsorship, it's usually short-lived after that, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, Horizons had GE as a sponsor, and I forgot when exactly they dropped. But, I mean, it operated for a few years after that, but ultimately it was no more because... Yeah. Obviously, they had a sponsor that was wanting to go in a different direction, and then now you have Mission Space, which I'm not even sure if it has a sponsor currently. I mean, originally it was, what was it?
Is it HP, or is that what it is?
I think it was originally Compaq, but that's who, but HP bought Compaq, of course. Mm. But
yeah, I know at one point it was HP, I just don't remember.
Yeah, I honestly think it started out Compaq, though. I think it did. Mm. And Hewlett Packard, you know, of course, Hewlett Packard consumed Compaq. So,
yes. Consumed.
Yeah, I want to say that's the case, but I'm trying to remember right. Hewlett Packard, in that time period, probably consumed a couple of those companies that were semi-successful and couldn't resist the buyout, I guess. Compaq was actually the very first PC that I had.
Yeah, we had a Compaq, too. Yeah, it was our first... A Compaq Presario.
Yep. Was the first PC that I had. Had a whole 2 gigabytes of space.
And that was a lot back then.
It really was.
It was like, why would you ever need more than...
Probably wouldn't even hold Windows.
Right. I remember our PC had a zip drive, which even when it came out, nobody knew what a zip drive was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, wow, that's wild to think of back then. Yeah. Anyway, that's how long that Illumination's Reflections of Earth has been around, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty close to it.
As long as CD burners have been out.
Yeah, the turn of the century was it.
Yikes.
People who were born, are graduating or have just graduated were born when this show debuted, so there you go. And I can't think of another, like I said, Disney nighttime show that runs that long, so. All right. So that wraps up the news for this week. If you would like to go out and find us on social media, you can do so on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at TWTM Podcast. We also have a Spreadshirt store, whereas if you wish, you can go and get your exclusive TWTM merchandise, whether it be phone cases or many, many more things you can do to show your support for traveling with a mouse. You go to shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
We also have a website on the World Wide Web at travelingwiththemouse.com. You can also email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want to help support the show, you can do that by going to our Patreon page, patreon.com/TWTM podcast.
So for Adam Brown, I am John Martin. This has been Traveling with a Mouse, and we will see you on our next trip.